Good morning all together. It's the first lecture today in Saal 3. The subject is against Office Open XML. The speaker is Benjamin Henrian, and he will tell us why Microsoft's attempt to get their doc files standardized isn't as good as it first seems to be. Give him a warm welcome.
I just quickly set up, I have a problem with the slides, so I just quickly set up the other slides on the second laptop so that I can see what's on the screen without watching the screen. Okay, shit. Oh.
So, if I may introduce Benjamin, he's working in Brussels, in the Brussels office for the FFI, and he started the campaign NoXML. It's a petition website that attracted so many contributions from all over the world, and against the standardization of OpenXML using the ISO fast track process. And myself, I was against this campaign. I really resisted going against Microsoft, and because I didn't see the gain. And then I got involved in this project somehow, and then I became some of the core team members. And listening to the whole process impressed me so much that you somehow get addicted to the whole process, that you say, This can't be like this, and you really see so many people were angry about OpenXML. You get involved and you see it's true, and they really play evil, and they play evil everywhere. So this then got me involved, and I'm now also based in Brussels, very close to Benjamin, and I'm building up an organization, Digital Standards Org, that tries to promote open standards. So.
Personally, I've been somehow, I started to be involved with this OXML thing last year in February, when there was this hurry, when there was this GrokDoc page which was saying that this standard could be fast-tracked, and somehow one of our best activists in Spain, Alberto, went to us when we were in a meeting in Brussels, and he said we have to send letters to all ISO members, all ISO standards bodies, and to ask them to vote against the fast track. And somehow there were contributions from many, many countries who somehow copied, some of those copied the GrokDoc page and sent them to the ISO secretariat. But at the end of the day, the ISO secretariat decided for unknown reasons to continue with the fast track, and then to have a really quick procedure for approving this monster standard. So in this presentation, I will try to quickly present our experience for the last 6 months with this standard, and after this, you will have the opportunity to ask some questions. So ISO is the International Standards Organization. It's a non-governmental organization with some members who are national standards bodies, such as DIN, AFNOR, and ANSI. They have also some liaison members like OASIS or ECMA, which are not standards bodies, but
they are standard
national
bodies.
Standards bodies, but which are somehow industry consortiums. Mm-hmm. And you have the opportunity. You have seven levels in the ISO standardization, and if you have already an OASIS or ECMA standard, you can skip the first three steps and have a procedure in ISO. And you can also have a fast track procedure if the standard is somehow ready. You can quickly have the standard more quickly. An example of an ISO standard is ISO 26300. It's the open document format developed by OASIS. It's XML based, and it has been adopted in 2005.
So
there's a problem of the synchronization.
I'm sorry. This was about this fast track process. Benjamin explained how the organization structures in general. You have ISO and national bodies, and the fast track process. And the fast track process is just for approval of already ready specifications. And the problem with this OpenXML, as we saw, was that the fast track process was just not usable because the spec was not ready.
So the ODF is somehow the competitor of OpenXML, and it's somehow the replacement for competitor for doc, PPT, and XLS. So since this standard has been adopted and this standard has been implemented in some office suites, Microsoft saw it as a problem.
You know, they recently the Netherlands adopted ODF, and many governments switched to ODF because it's an ISO standard, and governments feel somehow obliged to adopt ISO standards and adhere to them, and this created, of course, a huge problem for Microsoft.
So the main issue for Microsoft was that somehow this part of the market, which corresponds to the government procurement, was somehow preferred to a competitor. And they saw it as a threat for their somehow monopoly on the office market. And I like this quote of Doug Murray, which is the chief evangelist for OpenXML at Microsoft, who said that Office is a $10 billion revenue generator for the company. And then since the governments adopted this standard, they had to somehow counter it with the ISO standard, which is the gold standard. And he concluded by saying it's just a simple matter of commercial interest. Office is somehow the cash cow of Microsoft, and if you take the SEC filings of 2005, you see that Office combined with Windows OEM pre-installed on computers is basically 95% of the Microsoft income stream. So it means somehow if you manage to kill this cash cow in a way or the other, that's a big chunk of Microsoft who somehow disappears or income stream which is not coming. So what is OpenOXML? It's an abbreviation for Office OpenXML. I don't like using this term Office OpenXML because you have this open propaganda term in there. So when you Google, for example, for OpenXML, you find it's all Microsoft websites and propaganda. When you Google for OXML, it's more the opposite. So This Office OpenXML has been somehow given to ECMA, which is an industry association, European Association for IT Standards, and the standard was adopted as is without any changes. Only one company inside this industry association voted against, which was IBM. And so this ECMA 376 was proposed an ISO draft international specification, 29500, and somehow this ECMA 376 matches to the Office 2007. The big issue is in standards whether you have a reference implementation. In IETF or other processes, you have together with the specification a reference implementation. The issue is this standard procedure. You don't have any reference implementation. And when you ask Microsoft if Office 2007 is a reference implementation, they say no. So you have somehow a piece of paper that is not implemented, and when you cannot have an implementation which claims I implement this standard. So it's a big issue. This open term is open XML is really propaganda because it mixes the thing with open source, and they are trying to play with the... Recently, you see it in this with this campaign that they are trying to hijack somehow the term open source, and they don't want to use, in any case, GPL or free software terms.
It's very confusing. Open Office, Open Office, and then now you have Office Open XML, somehow related, yeah?
You have this mismatch between Open Office, Office Open, so it's totally confusing. What's wrong with the standard? Basically, you find in the standards stuff like AutoSpace, like Word 95, and or use Word 97 like break rules or stuff like stuff which are not really defined, and you have somehow, they say, Microsoft says you have to get an old application to imitate the behavior of the old application, and they say this is somehow the same for OpenOffice, that you, in ODF you have one or two terms which are similar. One of the big issue, and it was raised especially in my country, that dates before 1900 were not supported in Excel, for example, when you put a date like the date of creation of Belgium in 1839, and you want to calculate the difference of days with another day, let's say with now, how many days between the creation of Belgium and the failure of, to create a government or something like this, you in Excel you didn't manage to get an answer in terms of days, so it's problematic. The also big issue is that the standard conflicts with other existing ISO standards. For example, they put forward VML, which is somehow a competitor to SVG, Scalable Vector Graphics. So it's a file format for vector, and this file format has been rejected by W3C some years ago as a standard. And now they are coming back to push it as an ISO standard. And for example, another issue is that the weekends, since it's an American standard, the weekends are only Saturday and Sunday. And so it's a problem for countries like Algeria or other Muslim countries where the weekend is Friday and Saturday. They also pushed some homemade cryptographic system functions which are known to be weak, and instead of using previous ISO standards. What is interesting to see is that somehow, and I will show it later on, is that ECMA, the submitter of the standard, is now a Microsoft proxy. And this is a quote from the IRC channel. There was recently a debate on the blog radio on the internet, where some people like Boycott Novel and the GNOME Foundation and De Ikadza and other people were interviewed, and somehow we just copied the log of the IRC channel, and it's clear for everybody that Microsoft delivered Office OpenXML as is to ECMA. So it means that the standards committee didn't change anything in the standard in order to get it approved by ECMA.
Yeah. And the problem here, especially with this ECMA standard, is that somehow we get an internal Microsoft standard rubber stamped as ECMA standard, and now into the ISO process. And these few examples that were given by Benjamin, this is just an indication of the infrastructure slack, the internal infrastructure slack of Microsoft imported into an international standard. And if the standard organization did not only not correct these very obvious mistakes, but also there are so many technical problems, technical errors, formal problems in the specification, so that you can really say they forwarded a specification that is not suited, formally not suited for this international process.
The whole issue is Microsoft doesn't want any changes to the standard. They just want, because they have this Office 2007, which is already marketed and deployed, and somehow this standard has to be compatible. Otherwise, if the standard is too much different from the running product, it creates too much problem for them to change the product when it's deployed. So the real core issue is that Microsoft doesn't want any changes to the standard, and I will explain later on how they are trying to get a trick to get rid of the changes. So the problem with the specification is that it's 6,000 pages, but somehow people say it's not an issue. One of the issues where we somehow begin to be involved was the patent policy. How does it work for ISO to take care of the patents, software patent issue? Microsoft has provided the covenant not to sue and open specification promise, which are somehow, at least for the first one, similar to what Sun proposed for ODF, but for the open specification promise, it's still I would say it tries to hide the fact that it could be incompatible with GPL. So it's somehow a trick to get rid of competition through reasonable and non-discriminatory terms, independent policy of ISO.
You can put it in the word, it's a, we say it's royalty-free license, but no one knows really the legal implications on a worldwide scale. So we don't trust at all into these license models as compared to SANS. And we think there are many tricks involved. It's no...
But I have a slide later on to talk about this issue. So this fast track procedure is not really fitted for that kind of standard, especially when it's not ready and the size. This is a picture of printed specification that some people in Czech Republic managed to put in their car and managed to go to the standards body and just put it there just I think for fun. Since June there has been a rush. And that's why somehow the petition was efficient to attract traffic. There was a rush to find out what's going on. When is the deadline to submit comments? Who is going to submit comments? Please send the comments. Find out what to do. And please try to join national committees. What's also interesting in the process that it's very different from one country to another. In Belgium, if you want to join the committee, you didn't have to pay, let's say, an amount of money to enter the committee. In Italy, for example, you had to pay 2,500 euro to be a member. So the situation is somehow very different from country to country. In some countries, they even don't have any technical committees. So the national body somehow take the input from people who wants to give, and then they somehow take a decision. NoXML.org is a very cheap campaign. Especially, you just only need to go to wiki.com and somehow create your own wiki website, and that's somehow one of the first campaign that has been that has tested this platform. And as far as I know, it will be soon released under open source in January. This has had an advantage that I didn't need any webmaster, sysadmin, machine, hosting, bandwidth. To start and launch a campaign in 1 or 2 days, that was enough to just start. And because we were somehow in a hurry, there was nobody somehow doing something, and I saw that maybe the standard will be adopted without any debate. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, and I spent like 1 or 2 days to draft the 10 points of the petition, which was somehow one of the most difficult things, because that's one of the points where you expect that Microsoft will react, and those points should not be somehow breakable. This petition has attracted now 70,000 signatures, and also this website was set up because there was no plug-and-play solution for getting the comments tabled in the countries. The effects of the campaign was that in July there was no press coverage at all, and there were only blogs reporting about the petition and that there was something happening. People start to be interested, they become active, and some people try to find out what's going on in my country, what's the deadline for submitting comments, and the GrogDoc page, which lists somehow the issues, was not a ready plug-and-play solution for people just to table comments and have a discussion in their standards body. What you have to know is that you will find on the website a list of comments that we collected. Some comments are from Czech Republic or Switzerland, and this was really the central point that we somehow had the collection of comments, and that where it was easy for people just to take those comments and go to the standards body and discuss them. And that was somehow, because the standards body needs those formatted table to give to ISO. If it's in another form, like in a paper form or a text, it doesn't work. It has to be formatted in a special way with those tables, otherwise Otherwise, it doesn't work.
Yeah, there are three types of comments: general comments, greetings, Mr. Chairman, like this. Yeah, so it doesn't really matter. Technical comments. Technical comments are changes, substantial changes to specification, to the text. And editorial comments, oh, there's a spelling error or something like this.
Yeah. Oh. So what happened in most countries that, in several countries we noticed that there was committee stuffing with Microsoft business partners. So somehow in Italy they found out that since between the June and the 5th of July there was like 10 members. And from the 5 of July to the 10th of July, this number raised to 84. So in like 10 days, there were 74 members just appearing. And in other countries, it was somehow similar. What has happened is that the technical committees who advise the standards bodies, we managed to see to get input from several countries like Switzerland or Ivory Coast. Yep. And where the chairman, for example, of the meeting is totally biased. They don't give you the speech, or they just cheat with the voting rules. They change the voting rules on the fly. In some countries, a total mess. In other countries, we saw also that the government made an intervention. In Malaysia, I think standards body, or at least the technical committee, reached a decision, and then this decision was overturned by the government. This due to the fact that some national standards bodies are still partly controlled by the government. Mm-hmm. In some countries, they are totally independent, they are totally privatized. And those standards bodies are somehow, you see that there is a big influence of the industry on those.
So we got our 5 or 6 different mailing lists, and Benjamin was a kind of central contact point. And you get all the emails from the people all over the world that say, oh yeah, it's confidential, we are here under non-disclosure agreement, but in our committee, this happened.
Yes.
And it was everywhere. And we will go into some details and present some cases.
So what we also saw in the United States, for example, the INCTIS, which is advising the ANSI standards body, was somehow unable to get a majority, either for no, for yes, or for abstain. And to the second round, in between, we saw some press reports where Bill Gates was called to the rescue and made some phone calls to lobby some members of the standards body. This was somehow... a friend of mine who drew this caricature, and I think this is a good way to represent what has happened in some countries.
The problem with most comments was that they are really objective problems in the specification. Nothing as an unbiased expert, you cannot really discuss that there is an issue, because there is an issue. And then we had people in the committee that just killed the standard. We are against this, yeah?
Yeah, we are against, but we don't say why. In some countries, it somehow backfired, like in France, where somehow this majority voting in the committee was somehow overruled by the standards body, who saw that and they preferred to really see on their own if who was right in the ping pong game.
Okay.
What happened in Sweden is that. They discuss a standard, and the last meeting, when it comes to vote, suddenly 20 companies appeared as new members, and it appeared that they were Microsoft business partners, and they of course changed the vote at the last minute. It was reported in the press that Microsoft offered extra market subsidies to those partners if they participated to the meeting and voted in favor, and it was somehow unfortunately leaked in the press, and the representative of Microsoft Sweden was say it was a mistake. Finally, what happened in Sweden is that the board of the standards body decided to invalidate the vote. They had casted a vote which was approving the standard, and before the 2nd of September, they had the opportunity still to just change the vote. Oh no, we don't do this, we don't vote at all. This has somehow had a great attention in Sweden, because Sweden is one of the countries where the corruption level is somehow the lowest. I had the anecdote that the Prime Minister paid a chocolate with a credit card, and she was somehow fired in Parliament, or she had to leave. So Sweden is really the country where the level of corruption is. People don't take a microphone. Yeah. You don't have any sound.
Hello. Another thing that happened in Sweden was that the IBM representative left the meeting because he said this is just corruption. So I'm not even going to participate in this meeting. I'm just going to leave. And that also got a lot of press attention. So that was another aspect that actually brought this to
This issue was somehow in the front page of
in the business papers, which is really cool to bring it from being a technical matter to being actually a business matter that concerns people not only in the IT but also in business and politics and everything. So perhaps not voting is not a good option, but at least it got some attention, and that's really good.
Yeah, in Sweden it was a great political scandal, so they had to get back from it. But similar stuff happened in almost all nations we were in contact with, and it was just no issue because the sensitivity in these nations was different. In Germany, for instance, Microsoft found they found a professor that wrote a study, a very respected professor wrote a study that multiple standards are good because it creates competition between multiple standards. And when I talked to someone from the standard body, he said, I said, yeah, I read the study, and he said, haha, yeah, so it would... these are kind of running gags, so that academics are bored, in Germany, the committee was stuffed with Microsoft people. We didn't get involved in Germany, but in Germany, at least, there were experts in the standard committee. So, respectable, like, for instance, Dialogica and Fraunhofer Focus, who are also somehow Microsoft proxies, but they know what they are talking about.
I noticed this Bill Gates phone calls to the Secretary of Defense and the Secretary of Commerce, who were members of the ANSI INCTIS Technical Committee. And from one vote to the other, you can see that they switched their vote from no with comments to yes.
And also the explanations they were given were turned like... And during the process, it's always like this... This committee voted against, and then it was turned down like this.
Somehow reversal of...
Reversed. A good example was also Kenya. Yeah, in Kenya, in the fast-track process, Kenya was very critical. Some say it was an IBM proxy, which is probably true. So they tabled all critical questions, and then Kenya was sold to the other side. So, yeah.
Yeah, one interesting thing is that in the ANSI website, when you send an email to ANSI for commenting on this standard proposal, they archived everything. And if you go to this page, which is on the source of mentioned here, you will see that there is an archive of standard letters, thousands and thousands of standard letters sent from Microsoft supporters somehow, but all the same. And only one was really funny, is that the guy added on the top of the letter a personal note, which is reads, even though this is a form letter from Microsoft, I thought I would add this personal touch. So this, you can really go there, and it's really impressive. The Jordan standards body also has been caught in the spam filter of ANSI, and they were somehow, during the process, sending Microsoft documents as is to the other standards body to say, hey, look, it's a good standard, you should adopt it,
which is quite unusual or unprofessional.
We have our industry technology association of Jordan, who has carefully analyzed the standard, and they think it doesn't represent any contradiction with the other competing standards. And we are very competent, and that's what they basically they send in attachment some Microsoft copy paste propaganda. So for a standards body, it was somehow a shame. In Ivory Coast, the interesting thing is that the chairman of the technical committee was Microsoft business partners, and they somehow controlled the whole system. What we get from feedback from people who were, let's say, on our side from the Linux user group in Ivory Coast, they went to the standards body and they tabled comments. They didn't discuss the comments. And when they arrived at the meeting, the guy from the standards body complained that they have received angry phone calls from the NoXML community that were somehow very aggressive, very annoying, and insulting. And they were just not aware of any trouble. So we suspect that it's somehow Microsoft dirty tactics to phone call him. We are from the XML committee, we are against, and
I thought there was this case in either in Spain or in Portugal where they said at the standard committee, oh yeah, we received all these angry emails or phone calls, I'm not so sure about this. And then the persons from our side said, yeah, but we don't have, only members of this committee have this this phone number, and we didn't have the phone number, so we couldn't have called you. Yeah.
In countries like Kenya, for example, when it comes to, they were somehow discussing in the technical committee the standard, and when it comes to vote, the day of the vote, now five new Microsoft members, business partners appear, so new members, and they somehow changed the vote instead of somehow a balance. They switched to 5-9 because five new members joined the committee. A trick also in the process that you have in the ISO process, you have some countries which are observatory members and some countries which are permanently members. So you have P and O members. And you have a different way of calculating if the standards are adopted. For P members, you need to have 33% of the total of the countries, which should be for the standard, which vote yes. And for the O observatory countries plus the P countries, you need to get a 25% of the all ISO members without the abstentions. So the trick at the end of August, when Microsoft saw that they will lose the vote, they didn't get the 33% of P members, they somehow tricked the whole system by saying, oh yeah, but we can advise those O countries which are not P member to become P member, mm-hmm, in order to do not lose the P vote.
Yeah, and what you have to know is that the membership of P members, who also have obligation to participate in the whole process, so that it doesn't make, was very stable, and it's not that an upgrade happens every year. And with great power comes great responsibility. It's actually, this P membership is kind of check and balances in the ISO system, so that national bodies really have staff in Geneva and participate there and are not like, yeah.
So what happened,
Pacific,
for example,
islands.
When you made a phone call to the standards body in Lebanon they speak French, so I just took the phone and I just called there to see what's going on, if they have a technical committee, how many members do they have, who is deciding. And when I managed to get a responsible people there, they told me they don't have any technical committees. So they don't have any experts, they don't work on it. And what happened at the end of August is that this country suddenly switched to P membership, which was very strange. And they switched to P membership like 10 days before the deadline. And some people were betting on the internet, saying, yes, this country will vote yes in favor of Microsoft. So they, Microsoft somehow, in the countries where they were controlling the vote of the ISO members, they advised the standards body to apply to be P member, in like Ivory Coast.
Do you know about Venezuela? Do you know about Venezuela? Why the situation. Were in this list? It seems a bit strange that they are playing the game pro-Microsoft.
The Venezuelan situation is really strange because the Standards Body is not a governmental organization. And usually the Venezuelan policy, it's like pro-open source or something like this. Mm-hmm. And in Venezuela, the situation was totally controlled by Microsoft, and it still is. So you get this surge of new P members, which somehow tricked the whole vote. I will show you the example of Turkey, for example, where they just copy-paste and just voted, and then now they are P member. So you can find a list of... Where is this? Yeah. Okay. So you really have those last-minute tricks. That is, this quote of the Microsoft Director of Corporate Standards is saying that both parties will use all tactics available to them within the rules. And one of the issues with the ISO standard organization is that it's international organization, so it's not responsible in front of any international court. So if you want to sue somehow, saying this is illegal, this is a broken process, you don't have any court, you have to go to each national country, and you don't have any possibility to somehow...
Well, what was possible is the VTO process. There's a hardly known VTO technical barriers to trade agreement. There's competition law in Europe, so if the process is really broken and it's abused, then maybe it can be used. So maybe there are some options.
So if you want to go to find some really dirty stuff listed about the irregularities, we have a page on the NoXML website which maintains the results. So on 2nd of September, the results were announced, and the results that the standards was disapproved. Now it doesn't mean that the standards is not rejected. You have the possibility to get what is called a ballot resolution meeting to solve some of the issues, and then to switch from some members which has voted no, to switch them to yes, and then have the requirement of 66%. We are not far from the, you had 53% who voted in favor, and the requirement was 66%, so we are really close to have the approval of the standard. One of the issues with the press is that there was somehow reporting that the standard has been rejected by ISO, and I expect that most of you feel that this with the press and especially /dot coverage, or that the standards was rejected, but it's not. One funny article press report is that the journalist mentioned that ISO rejects OXML, but in second update Microsoft expects another vote that will approve the standards.
Yeah.
So somehow this monster standard is like, you kill the bear, and then when you walk away, the bear comes up and eats you. Yeah. So you really have to shoot 10 times in the bear and cut the head so that you're sure that the beast is dead. One of the funny things was like to have some correlation about the results and list, for example, list the countries that has voted yes without any comments, even if there were an impressive list of technical flaws. So those countries were somehow Armenia, Belarus, Bangladesh, Cyprus, Fiji, Jordan, Kazakhstan,
Jamaica,
Russia, Saudi Arabia, Uzbekistan,
Sri Lanka,
Ukraine, Tanzania, and so on. So this one interesting thing is, for example, that Turkey voted yes with comments, but they somehow attached the their contribution as a PDF file, which I copied on our website because the comments disappeared from the ISO webpage. Yeah. So when you Google for the for the contribution, you just copy paste what you find in the contribution of Turkey, you put it in Google, and when you find out that it's basically copy-paste from the ECMA propaganda, so it's they did nothing there, and they are P member.
And of course, this document from Turkey was not formatted as you need to submit a comment in this table was technical, general, and precisely saying which part of the specification was just propaganda attached, fan fiction, so to speak. So pretty unusual.
One of the funny things with Microsoft is that they take care about security. One of the project managers of Microsoft Office said that one of the benefits of OpenXML is that we know what's in there, because we know what we write and we know what we read. And because, of course, it's XML. And they said we know what should and should not be there. And the issue is one of the technical issues with the standard is somehow some countries find out that there was a way to get inclusion of arbitrary data in the file format and in connection with the printer drivers, which are somehow tied to the Microsoft platform. It was somehow it's a possibility to transform the file format in a virus bomb or something like this.
Yeah, actually, I don't know whether there are viruses for Word 2007 yet on the market. But at least they think that the switch to an XML-based format will help to avoid viruses. It's an argument, but actually it also applies to any other XML-based format as the existing ISO standard. So,
well, one interesting issue, and you will find it on the NoXML.org website, is that in the standard you have a tag or a space in the file format to be able to put any binary things. So it's a kind of container space for extensions, and in the extensions you can put anything which is proprietary, binary, closed, or whatever. So this XML propaganda thing is even not valid. You have part of the standard which is totally, which can be closed and which can lead to non-interoperability between different applications if they have proprietary extensions. So what has happened, there were like 3,500 comments tabled. Many of those somehow were duplicate. Someone created the website this 29500.org, where you can, it's a blog where you can search for all kind of comments and comments over the comments, and you can re-comment over the comments and so on. Mm-hmm. Right now ECMA is somehow trying to solve the main issues internally, and the process to which they communicate with the standards bodies is not open to the public. So somehow it's a good example of an open standard where the standard is somehow drafted behind closed doors, and only the standards body has access. The public has no say.
Even the fact that the comments that were tabled by the nations are now known was somehow reversed again, so you cannot get the comments anymore officially.
Yeah, if you go to the ISO website or gtc134.org, you won't be able to find the comments anymore. So yesterday I just Googled for this Turkey paper that I suspected that it was Microsoft propaganda, and I just found out that our comments that we somehow recopied on our server was very high on the ranking of Google, just because nobody was able to find the comments.
And the interesting aspect is also that I don't know if it happens really like this, but that national committees that tabled 80 comments just got resolution proposals from ECMA regarding their own national comments. So actually, these national standard committees are supposed to work on all comments, which is pretty difficult, 6,000 pages, 3,500 comments, but also take them into account. And
The Microsoft strategy is really to say to
the standards body
to only, you will have only to focus on your comments, because if you look at the other comments, you...
And the excuse here is, of course, procedural trickery. So they say, no. We would like to publish all the comments, but ISO rules say no, we may not publish the comments. And this is due to the fact that this ISO EAC directive was changed. By the way, this change of the directive, I think, was dedicated to the head of ECMA back then. And the head of ECMA that already left, and now he works for CompTIA. And CompTIA is a known Microsoft proxy. So we see, and he's the person who brought, he also has a weblog, the Dutch person, and he also said, claimed, yeah, I brought OpenXML to the international standards, to the ICMA, and I invited Microsoft to standardize here at ICMA. So,
yeah. This was somehow a quote from Greg Mundy, which is a high level of Microsoft. He said, oh, those comments, we don't think they have a practical technical merit or something similar. They are creating some anxiety during this process. Many comments were submitted that had common threads and put together by people who oppose this standards activity. So the trick for Microsoft right now is to keep the backward compatibility with Office 2007, which is already a released product. So if you somehow manage to change the standards so that it's totally different from Office 2007, they will go crazy. It's like changing the engine of an airplane while it's flying. And the trick they will use, and it's already somehow visible on the ECMA website because they made a press release on the change they are proposing for the 14th of January, is that the trick is to flag all the bugs as deprecated and to move it into a section which is optional, an annex, and to flag them as deprecated and to recreate a new function so that the new function pleases to the comments of the members in order to get the majority to get it adopted. And this deprecation is only to be kept in the standard, only to be compatible with Office 2007 and with all those old binary doc files. For example, I was predicting on the 18th of September that Microsoft won't correct the network days function, which is for the Muslim weekend problem in the specification, and that they will create another network days 2 function by flagging the network days, the first function, as deprecated and solving the issue. And this trick is only done to keep the backward compatibility with a running product. So it's not something which is, why don't you want to correct the function instead of creating a new one and using this trick. And some days ago, on the 22nd of December, ECMA just published somehow a press release commenting about the solution that they will propose for the 14th of January. And they said issues related to the leap year bug, which is the fact that they consider 1900 as a leap year, which is false. The VML or the compatibility settings such as autospace, like Word 95, and others will be extracted from the main specification and relocated to in an independent annex in the standard. The annex is specifically for deprecated functions.
So what does deprecated mean in an international standard? That's just, you just got 1.0 and there's deprecated functionality in there, yeah?
And all this deprecated part is just for compatibility with the past. And in Belgium and France, it raised some attention that the standards bodies were somehow wanted to split this and to get rid of the deprecated part. And the core issue for me is whether I don't see that there is energy in the standards bodies to go against this behavior. So what would probably happen is that this trick will work, that the standards bodies will switch their vote from no to yes, and that Microsoft will get a majority. Mm-hmm. Many national bodies commented also about the role of this old vector format, which is 600 pages and which has been rejected by W3C some years ago. And some members were asking to remove this VML from the specification, and some members were saying, oh no, we have to keep compatibility with Microsoft stuff, and we ask it to use the deprecation trick and to flag it as deprecated and to replace it somehow with another vector format in the standard. ECMA is on the way to propose this, and they of course chosen the Microsoft side to resolve this issue.
It's just a proxy, yeah? It's just a proxy.
The interesting aspect of VML is somehow that if you want to be compatible with Microsoft Office 2007, you have somehow to implement those old, dirty, deprecated rubbish parts.
It's the old infrastructure Slack from this company, and they're, it's costly for them to change their fundamental architecture. And I think this is a central argument also against OpenXML. We have the switch from doc, PPT, and so on, Excel, the old binary formats, to a new XML-based world. But it's no clean transition, but they take all the old bugs, bug-for-bug compatibility over. And they call it high-fidelity backwards compatibility. But what's the backwards compatibility between an XML format and the binary format? So actually, this XML format is no real XML. It's more a kind of internal representation infrastructure dump into XML.
So what will happen, I think we have 5 minutes left,
yeah.
So we rush through. What will happen is that there will be a bilateral resolution meeting in Geneva at the end of February, and that we somehow ask the question to all standards bodies to find out who is going there. And during our collection of names, some members didn't want to share the names with the public. But with some countries, we find out that most people who are going to Geneva are just Microsoft representative or Microsoft business partners. So around the table, to solve the issue, you will have a great influence of Microsoft on the whole meeting. For example, in Belgium, IBM and Microsoft will be the two people who will go to represent the country.
Yeah, it was a bit sad because you are also a member of the Belgium committee and you're a Belgium citizen, and these are two American companies, and Belgium gets represented by foreign companies, so it's somehow strange. And you said I go to the committee and they shall elect me. And Benjamin represents all this no XML movement, so he's a relevant stakeholder from Belgium, known worldwide, and he cannot take part in the ballot resolution meeting because, as they said, you said both sides of the debate should get represented, and one side is IBM and one side is Microsoft. So
what we expect is that Microsoft will get enough majority to get this standard technically approved, and that 30 days after the meeting in Geneva, you will see heavy lobbying, because that's the period where members can change their vote or at least decide, in function of what has happened in Geneva, to switch their vote or not. So you can expect a heavy lobbying there. One of the untouched issue in the standards process is that the issue of patents, where we usually, that's where we came from. And the thing is that in the United States, you have a company claiming basic patents on XML. And I think in the forthcoming months, there should be some kind of initiative to dig into the patent database of each national patent office, especially in the United States, to try to find out to make some research about which patents does these 6,000 pages standards violate. One thing, it could be somehow, if you trigger this patent issue, it could be one of the breaks to stop the standards in some way. Because if you draw the attention to ISO to a particular patent, then the ISO has to contact the patent owner and get a form signed that he will license this patent under certain conditions. Mm. And if those certain conditions if the company doesn't want to license it, then the whole standard is somehow blocked. And that was...
Yeah, of course, one patent, and it's the nuke option. But of course, this is something which large companies like IBM or so on, they have patents probably covering the standard, but I don't think they want to risk this kind of patent war and start it.
They don't like this issue.
Because all standards are somehow affected by this problem that another company has patents on them. Yeah, yeah. So it's more a Cold War situation. Both sides have their nukes, but they don't use them against each other and just move some nukes to Cuba or so, yeah? around the world, but you don't really exercise this power. But the point is, we don't know, if you really want to play evil, you just need one patent covering XML,
everybody can write to ISO, I found a patent, and then this process, formal process is started. The pitfall from our side is, now it's now the standard is licensed under, we call it RF, but no one trusts us conditions. But what standard bodies just require is reasonable and non-discriminatory fees. So this would break the whole RF thing. So it would be no, from the patent side, no open standard compliant standard specification.
One of the issues, for example, is that one standard gets blocked only because of patent issues where one patent holder refused to license it under RAN terms, which is a new wireless standard. One interesting issue is that in the open specification promise of Microsoft, you try to find out, people ask the question whether it's compatible with GPL. And one interesting thing is that in the USP, you find out that you cannot get Microsoft rights received from basically people who redistribute the standard, at least the implementation. And in the fact, you find out there's a big question on whether this OSP allows sub-licensability, which is somehow a cornerstone of free software and open source distribution, and the answer is that there is no need for sub-licensing. So it casts some doubt on whether this OSP is somehow compatible with GPL. So I think we reached the end of the talk. If you want to help, one of the simple way to do it is just to give money to the association. We'll spend it usefully. What you can also do is to try to find out in your country the names of the people who are going to this meeting, because somehow in some countries I have the impression that you really need to get to the political level in order to raise some pressure in order to have the names. Mm-hmm. The big question is whether those people will be independent from the vendor. And don't hesitate to call your members of parliament in order to get an answer to those questions. And one also interesting thing is to try to find out who pays the ticket to fly to Geneva. We find out in some countries that Microsoft is paying all the tickets mm-hmm. of all the delegation. So if you are interested to participate in this initiative, there is a webpage, noxml.org/BRM, where we collect those names by country. So finally, I will wish you a deprecated and optional Happy New Year. So I think we are just on time. So if there are any questions, I think we have 1 or 2 minutes left.
Yeah.
You have to take the microphone. Yeah. There's someone there.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah. That's interesting talk. My point of view on the subject is that it's more like a question. What you are showing in your talk is how the whole process for making standards is completely broken and can be entirely, managed by another company. And is there any kind of open process for making standards that could be invented if it's not already done? And because this can happen for OOXML, but it can happen for any kind of other like standards as well. So should we not be when you're making open source software, should not be in place to just replace and propose another standard for it instead of this broken process?
One of the big issues is that if somehow Microsoft managed to destroy ISO in some way, for the next upcoming standards, I see some standards like XPS or coming standards in this year or even the next year, that they will somehow manage to get to cash in with the number of people they managed to put in the technical committees. So what you can expect is that if they succeed with OXML, they can succeed with future standards in the same way. And I don't see any movement to get to get new rules or new clarification on how ISO should work in order to be somehow committee stuffing resistant.
Yeah.
That's somehow an issue which is, I don't see how to solve this problem.
And the problem is not that ISO has no rules. It's a very technocratic, old organization, bureaucratic, technocratic organization with a lot of rules. And the rules are so complex that it's very hard to understand it for external, how things work there. So, we are not so much critical of ISO as such, think that ISO is basically from another era in the institution. It's more this UN style of institution where national bodies agree how long the meter should be or something like this. Yeah, national. It's based on the idea that there are national interests for standards, and they were somehow in the design of ISO not aware of this problem of vendor capture, and of course ISO predates the whole concept of open standardization, which we advocate for. So, if I would like to add something, there are actually two aspects. One is ISO. ISO is just an NGO, and there are governments that adopt ISO standards. So, if ISO adopts OpenXML, which will happen, and my point is, I say. They will get their standard, but it will be a blood standard, yeah? Like blood diamond, a blood standard. They can get their damn standard, yeah? But the reputation is in the sink. So it will be very difficult anyway to sell it to the governments then and invoke these automatic policies. And after the ballot resolution meeting, if they don't play fair and contribute again with so many nice incidents and create this public outrage, they are our favorite campaigners for us, then it will be very difficult on the governmental level. And we see all the switches in the governments. In Germany, the foreign ministry organized an ODF workshop. Also, and I know that government representatives in the German Dean Committee were very pissed how it worked in the standard committee. And it's very difficult for a reasonable standard expert to say, I shut my eyes and say, oh, this is all okay, and so on. So yeah, it really breaks.
I think we had another question.
Yeah, we had another.
In the front, yeah?
Yeah, I'm just curious why it is no OOXML. Was the OOXML domains, were they all taken already?
Can you repeat?
Were the OOXML domains all taken already?
I booked the double O, but it doesn't. I prefer to say no with OOXML with 3 O than 2 O, but it's personal taste. Yeah, there was somehow debate when I bought the domain names. Oh no, it's not good, it's too complicated, but domain name doesn't matter.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but we are already 5 minutes over time, so...
Okay. So if you have any questions, you can come...
The next speaker is already waiting, I guess. So thanks for the lecture and have a nice day.
Thank you very much.